Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
There's such a balance of living out our faith, owning God's truth, and then living out His grace. I'm Scott Harreld on SOS Radio, and we're talking with author Sharon Hottie Miller today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now that I have gotten my kids away from me.
Oh, no, everybody's running around. I'm like, I'm hungry.
I talk to you from behind a locked door.
There's this funny balance between love and truth, and it's almost turned into something polarizing today. And it was never that way when Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. It's like we feel like culture says, oh, Christians need to be nice, like it's the only virtue that they're going to accept. But we feel like if we don't come across loving every time we talk to someone about truth, it's like we fail Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So this book, Nice, the subtitle is Why We Love to Be Liked and How God Calls Us to More. And the idea for this book, it came from my first book, which came out a couple years ago. It was called Free of Me, Why Life is Better When It's Not About You. And in the first chapter of that book, I mentioned this tendency in myself as a child where I was this really nice kid. I was a rule follower. I was an achiever. And I lived for the approval of all the adults in my life. But I could look back and notice this warring motivation in my heart, where part of the reason I was nice was because of Jesus. I wanted to follow Him. But the other reason I was nice was that it got me things. Like it was really, really beneficial to me to be a good kid. And so I mentioned this just in kind of like a paragraph in my first book, but I couldn't let go of this idea. Like it just continued to haunt me and hang over me. And I realized why it came back to me again and again is that tendency to be nice because of what it got me had really followed me into adulthood and had kind of infiltrated different areas of my life, like ministry and like relationships. And I was just noticing I was being nice instead of being truthful. I was being nice instead of being honest. I was being nice instead of, you know, having courage. And that's when I thought, you know what, I need to examine this a little more closely to understand exactly why I'm doing this.
You know, it's funny because you're right about how niceness is a virtue of surfaces rather than depths. I mean, it's like We think about like, oh, surface level is just shallow. You know, it's usually like vanity, or we're just oblivious to the world, or we're just self-focused. But when you think about depth, I mean, you want people to fully experience God's radical grace, and you also want to be able to talk about truth and have the tough love conversations, but you don't just want to push people away by pounding them with a hammer, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like when we think of being shallow, that word has such a negative connotation. But I think it's important to think of simply that as like a mask. Like, what is the appearance that you put on? And I think for Christians, we are really good at looking good. You know, we are masters, especially those of us who are raised in the church, and I'm one of them, is I know how to look like a really good Christian. And that can get us into trouble because we can give all the right answers and we can, you know, fake it for a while. And kind of one of the metaphors that I use in the book is that of a Christmas tree. And, you know, we bought this Christmas tree and it was really unhealthy. And so we decorated it and it looked really beautiful, but we didn't realize that the tree was actually dying.
Oh, no.
Even though it looked gorgeous, it started to smell really bad. And I eventually, we would walk past this tree and it was kind of too late to just take it down and throw it away. We were so close to Christmas. But every time I walked past that tree, I thought, this is like my life. This is such a metaphor for faith, is that we can put on all these nice appearances. You know, we can be involved at church and know all the right Christian answers and do all the right Christian things, but they're almost like ornaments on a tree covering up the fact that we are actually dying underneath. And so I think it's really important to name that we can use niceness as a mask to obscure the true state of our souls.
No, that's a really good metaphor because, yeah, it's like we're hanging all these sparkly things just to distract from the way we really are.
Yep, exactly. And some of us are really, really good at it. I'm one of them.
We love to be liked, but as Jesus followers, God calls us to so much more. We're talking with Sharon Hottie Miller today on SOS Radio. We're talking about how we can live authentically in a culture where everyone wants us to be nice, and everyone thinks nice is the virtue that Christians are supposed to start with, but there's also the element of truth.
Yeah, exactly. As I was thinking through understanding, and I call it a false virtue and a false idol. And one of the things that a lot of people have said to me when they've heard the topic of my book is they said, well, I don't need your book because I don't struggle with that. I'm not nice. I kind of want to say not so fast, because nice Christianity, it looks so much like what we are called to that I think we can't always tell the difference. And so what I decided to do in the first half of the book is kind of examine, how do you diagnose this in yourself? Like, how do you actually know that this is something you're struggling with? And Jesus gives us this really helpful metaphor where he says that you can know a tree by its fruit. And so I was looking at, okay, what are the fruits of niceness when that is what you're serving instead of Christ? And I discovered, you know, one right off the bat, that you have inauthenticity, where instead of being honest, you know, in our relationships about how we're feeling, we are simply nice. Instead of saying the hard thing, we are simply nice. Another fruit of niceness is cowardice, where, you know, maybe God is calling us to say something really difficult that people aren't going to like. And instead of saying that thing, we are simply nice. And so we're cowardly. Another one that I noticed in myself was self-righteousness, because I was such a nice girl. I would look down at other people who weren't as nice as me. So there's all sorts of ways that we can detect this fruit in our lives, but you've really hit the nail on the head. Whether or not you'll tell the truth when it costs you is a big indicator. And I think that we oftentimes will say, well, I'll say the truth. Like, I'll say hard things, you know, because we kind of spout off on social media or something like that. But very often what we're doing is we're saying hard truths in ways that don't cost us. You know, we're saying it to people kind of out there. But when it comes to our church, our community, our family, our friends, where it's really going to cause friction and tension, I think that is the indicator of whether you are serving nice or if you're serving Christ.
You know, it's really interesting, too, in this modern age, you hear people talking about the Jesus only movement. And it's like, well, we only teach about Jesus and we don't really talk about a lot of the Paul things because those things aren't nice, or those things, you know, are culturally different than where we're at, or we don't talk about anything from the Old Testament. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And it seems like the whole focus of that perspective is the niceness of Jesus. But Jesus wasn't nice. Jesus was loving and grace-filled, and those are completely different virtues than being nice.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you how many times recently someone has looked me in the eye and said, you know, Jesus never said this. And I looked them back in the eye and said, yes, he did. He totally did. But, you know, I think our culture only knows a very kind of sanitized and safe version of Jesus. And Jesus wasn't nice. He got angry. He called people broods of vipers and whitewashed tombs, and he turned over tables. And, you know, I think some people will take that and then they'll kind of run with it and they'll be needlessly offensive, and they'll be mean, or they'll be aggressive, and they'll say, you know, Jesus did this too. And I think it's always important to remember, again, counting the cost, where the people that he was not nice to, he also died for them. You know, he was willing to count the cost out of love for them also. And I think that's often absent when we are just jerks to people. You know, it's not really about loving them. And so that keeps us in check, you know, so we're not swinging from just sticking your head in the sand or just being sweet to just feeding on outrage all the time. But yeah, Jesus is, I think people have this vision of Jesus where he's kind of this kumbaya, you know, that never raises his voice kind of a person. And that's just not the picture that we have from the Bible.
You know, no one says, oh, I struggle with idolatry. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with Sharon Hottie Miller today on SOS. And essentially, idolatry is when we place anything in front of God's righteous place in our heart. It's when we make things bigger than God in our identity, and we just put things in front of him. And, you know, that's essentially a big part of what your new book, Nice, is all about when you bring it down to the core. I mean, this nice, people-pleasing mentality, the popularity contests we have at church or in the PTO. I mean, we look at those and they almost become idols in our lives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What I really wanted to communicate about niceness is that niceness is something that we use for our own purposes to serve us in some way, shape, or form. And we tend to think of niceness as being fundamentally about others, but really it is fundamentally about ourselves. And one of the ways that I draw this distinction is by clarifying the difference between niceness and kindness, because those two things seem so similar. But someone who was really helpful for me, and this was an author named Barry Corey, he's got a book called Love Kindness. He had this explanation that I just can't forget. It's so good. He said that niceness has soft edges, and it also has kind of this squishy core, whereas harshness, it has really, really hard edges, and it has a hard core as well. But kindness, it's sort of a mix of the two, where it has those soft edges of niceness. It is loving, it is gentle, it is patient, but instead of having a squishy core, it has a firm core, meaning it has conviction, it has a spine. And the way that I think you can recognize the difference in yourself is how you respond when someone doesn't reciprocate your niceness or your kindness. Because niceness, because it is fundamentally about you, it is something that you use, it is an idol that you rely on to kind of make all your relationships smooth in the world. When that doesn't work, when you're nice to someone and they don't reciprocate, then niceness, it just shatters instantly, and it makes way and place for resentment, you know, and I'm sure you can relate to this. I 100% relate to this, where I was nice to somebody and they were rude back. And I was like, oh, how could you treat me that way? I was so nice to you.
Yeah.
But kindness, it perseveres in love. I think about God's kindness is what leads us to repentance, and how we see this in Jesus, where he wasn't kind, you know, just because of the response that that earned him in some way, but he was sacrificially kind. He was kind in a costly way to himself, regardless of how people responded. And how you respond when someone doesn't reciprocate is a really great indicator of A, whether or not you're using niceness, but B, whether or not niceness has become kind of an idol in your heart.
Yeah, because it's really interesting, Sharon, because as we abide in Christ and we grow in him and we're connected into the vine, you know, we develop fruit. And that's what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. And people are going to know you by your love for one another. He says, go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. He says, people will know you by your fruit. And that's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness.
Yeah, and I think that language of fruit is so important, because one of the mistakes that we make as Christians is that we'll look at vices in the world. Like, we'll see people being mean and we'll say, don't be mean, be nice. Or we'll even say, don't be nice, be kind, you know, be loving, be joyful. But oftentimes I think what is happening is we are just taking those things. And again, we're kind of hanging them as ornaments on our trees. We're just sort of putting a mask on, because they're actually meant to be fruit that emanate from inside of us organically. It's not something that you kind of just make up your mind that I'm going to do this now, but it has to be coming out of who you actually are. And that was one of the reasons why in the second half of the book, instead of just doing kind of this one-to-one where the first half of the book is like, these are the bad fruits of niceness, and then the second half of the book being, these are the good fruit of the Spirit, I thought, you know what? That's not how farmers grow fruit. You know, if a farmer has a sick tree that is bearing bad apples, the farmer doesn't walk up to the tree and say, hey, bear better fruit. You know, it has to cultivate a healthier tree. And God has written that into nature to show us that that is also how he designed our soul. And so instead of just saying, oh, I shouldn't be this, I should be this, what we have to do is actually take steps to cultivate our souls so that we will bear better fruit. And so that's what I look at in the second half of the book is how do we actually cultivate a better tree? How do we cultivate a better soul so that we aren't just replacing one mask for another, but actually bearing better fruit?
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, as you talk about bearing better fruit and cultivating that, it reminds you there's a difference between bearing much fruit and fruit that will last.
Yeah. There's a number of chapters where I look at just different practices that I learned from farmers. Because as I said, you know, God put these principles in nature to teach us. You know, he's helping us everywhere we look. We can look around and God's saying, this is how I made you. This is how I made you. And so I love that God's creative that way. But as I was learning about just how trees grow, one of the things that I learned that was really, really interesting is there's this practice called thinning, which I had never, have you ever heard of this before, Scott? I've heard of pruning, but I've never heard of thinning. And what it is you are cutting back perfectly good branches in perfectly good fruit. And the reason these farmers do that is a tree has limited nutrients. And so if a tree has too many fruit, if it bears too much fruit, it won't have enough nutrients to go around. And so the fruit are underdeveloped. They are smaller and they are less flavorful and less healthy. And so they actually make the choice to bear fewer fruit on a tree. So they thin the branches so that the tree bears fewer fruit, but it bears better fruit. And that, for me, as I was learning about that, I thought, you know, that's such a great reminder because one of the things we do with niceness is we use it to gain as big of an audience as possible. This is a huge temptation in ministry where I don't want to say anything hard because I don't want to lose anyone. I want to gain as many listeners as possible, bear as much fruit as possible. And it was really convicting to realize that is not how God designed us. That is not the way of the kingdom of God. We're just the more, the better. It's not about quantity, but it is about quality. And we see this in the life of Jesus. We see this in the life of prophets like Ezekiel, where they lost people. They said things that were hard. Their yield at times was smaller, but it was also better. My husband and I have a church plant, and that's just such a chastening reminder.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be nice just to keep as many people as possible.
That's a great way to look at it. We're talking to Sharon Hottie Miller today at SWS Radio. She has a new book that's out. It's called Nice, Why We Love to Be Liked and How God Calls Us to So Much More. Thanks for checking in with us today, Sharon.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.